And we're holding on Mem Omer Aleph at the top. Continuing on the topic of tzitzis, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, sodden with tzitzis, a linen garment, sodden literally means just a sheet, but Rashi right away defines that we're talking about a linen sheet or a linen wrap over here. The tzitzis, as far as putting tzitzis on it, Beis Shammai poitrin, Beis Shammai holds that a person is potter from putting tzitzis on it, even if it has four corners, or Beis Hillel mechayven, and Beis Hillel says he's chayev. Now, why would that be? So Rashi explains as follows. We've talked about in the last couple of daffin that you're allowed to have chalayim in tzitzis, even though normally you're not allowed to wear shatnez. But when it comes to tzitzis, the Torah tells us, the Torah implies that you're allowed to by putting the issue of shatnez right next to the mitzvah of wearing tzitzis. However, Rashi points out, Rashi explains, does not agree, does not hold of that, of learning a din in that way of smuchin. So in other words, they would say, they would say, in short, that you're not allowed to put tzitzis that involve wool on a linen garment. Now, if you're wearing tchelas, as they did back then, by definition, tchelas is wool. So therefore, in short, Beis Shammai would say it's not just that the garment is potter from tzitzis. Beis Shammai would hold it's actually also to put tzitzis on it when you're doing tchelas. Then Rashi says, why do they use the word potter? Really, tzitzis is a garment. Right now, they're taking the view that the garment itself is higher than tzitzis. Now, we're going to talk about further on. We're going to talk about in the next couple of daffin that the halacha is not so. The halacha is that the tzitzis is called choyvas gavra. It's an obligation in the sense that if you're going to wear a four cornered garment, then you have to have tzitzis on it. It's not that you're obligated to wear tzitzis. It's rather that if you're going to wear a four cornered garment, then it has to have tzitzis on it. Meaning, in other words, that it's a choiv on you, the person who's going to be wearing the garment. So now we're saying though that the choiva is more on the beggar. We're saying so. Therefore, even if you're not wearing it, it would require tzitzis. So therefore, you can't really say osur. You can't really say it's osur because you're not going to be wearing the garment. This is how Rashi is explaining it. If you're not wearing the garment, then of course there's no issur to put kilayim on it. There's no issur to put to have a garment to own a garment of kilayim. You're just not allowed to wear it. So therefore, they use the expression poetry, and Rashi explains. Meanwhile, Beis Hillel holds that it's that meanwhile Beis Hillel holds mechayvin that you are chayev because then there's no because they hold there's no issue of kilayim because of that smuchin. Now Rashi also goes on to say then the same machloikas would also apply to a woolen garment.
How can they hold this way when it says you achilachem tzitzis? You have to make
tzitzis, but they hold tzitzis has to be. They hold that tzitzis has to be when there's not an issue of kilayim. The same way as many mitzvahs, we find when you know the Torah tells us to do something, but the Torah also tells us a different mitzvah that may interfere with it. So here they hold. They don't hold. This is how Rashi explains over here. They don't hold of the smuchim over here to say that the Torah is giving us an exception. So as far as they're concerned, the issue of kilayim, the issue of shatnez is an absolute one, and therefore any time that doing the mitzvah would impinge on shatnez, then they hold you can't do that, and therefore they would say that a linen garment is not only potter from tzitzis, but you're not allowed to put tzitzis on it when there's tchelas. According to Rashi, they would hold that if there's no issue of kilayim, namely if it's all linen strings, if you're not doing tchelas, then then indeed they would say it required tzitzis. But here we're talking about when they had tchelas, and therefore, since tchelas by definition is wool, then you can't. So Rashi goes on to point out the same way they would hold also that with a woolen garment you can't put linen tzitzis on it. The machloikas is not presented in that way. Rashi says it's because with a woolen garment, it's not necessarily that there's ever going to be an issue of kilayim. You put all wool tzitzis on it, strings of tchelas, strings of white, and you're good. Only when it comes to a linen garment, where by definition tchelas is wool, only there do you have the problem. This is how Rashi holds. Tosfos Tosfos has several problems with Rashi's explanation, among other things that it seems that almost all the Tanurim agree that even if we don't doubt Smuchim elsewhere in the Torah, we do in Devarim, and these two Psukim are in Devarim, and Tosfos has some other questions and some other problems as well. Tosfos points out this is one of the rare cases where Seder of Amram, the Siddur of Rav Amram Goin, one of the earliest Siddurim that we have from about 1200 years ago, he paskens like this Shammai. This is one of those rare places where the halacha would be like this Shammai. Now here, the Gemara is about to say over here, the halacha kedivrei Reb Hillel, but then Rav Amram Goin explains, based on the continuation of the Gemara, that in fact it's not so in the end, and he holds the halacha is like this Shammai. If we followed Rashi's understanding of it, the fact is we do doubt from smuchim, and we do say kalayim is mutter when it comes to tzitzis. How could Rav Amram Goin say the halacha is like this shamai? So Tosfos discusses it a bit back and forth and says that no, what it means is it's not like Rashi said. So Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam, and Tosfos learned differently than Rashi. Not that the Shammai is saying it's also to put tzitzis on a linen garment. Midaraisa would be chayav. But midrabbanan, we're going to say that it's also midrabbanan, we're going to say that you shouldn't, for reasons that we're going to discuss in the sugya. So in other words, not that they would hold that if a person does put woolen, so in other words, the Tosfos understands that the Shammai would say, to answer your question from a minute ago, yes, midaraisa, of course linen garments are chayav and tzitzis. But midrabbanan, we're making a zeder not to, and they're able to do that. The Chacham have the ability to do that, as we're going to talk about in a minute. And therefore, for that reason, the Shammai says you're potter from tzitzis on it.
What is it?
So
just repeat that last line.
So according to Rashi, the Shammai is saying you're not allowed to put tzitzis when there's tchelis on a woolen garment, on a linen garment, because then necessarily you're putting wool and linen together, and they hold that would be shatnez, and there's no hector for shatnez when it comes to tzitzis.
What was the
according to Tosfos, the vote is midaraisa, sure you should put tzitzis on it, but midrabbanan, we don't want you to, for reasons that the Gemara is going to go on to explain, and therefore, so that's why they say poturim. This is one now. Tosfos is saying that Rav Amram Goin, one of the Goinim in his Siddur, which is one of the earliest Siddurim that we have, and it also has a comprehensive list of halachas related to davening, he paskins that this is one of those rare cases where the halacha is like the Shammai. So that would mean, in other words, according to Tosfos, what that means is, in other words, that midrabbanan, don't put tzitzis on a linen garment. As far as what the halacha is, the practical halacha nowadays, we'll talk about in a few minutes. What the posts can say. In practice, we should and shouldn't do on this subject.
The question was, you mentioned the concept of what Chacham make gzeira.
When the Chacham make gzeira, they have an ability to override a din d'oraisa when it's sheval tasa, when they're telling us to passively not do something. We're going to talk about that in a minute.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Didn't we say that a cotton garment is not called a beged.
That's true, but that's according to one opinion, it's not called a beged, but we're not talking about cotton over here, we're talking about linen. There's no question, we learned yesterday, that linen is considered a beged. The question is, can we put wool tzitzis on it? According to Rashi, the Shammai is saying, midaraisa, you cannot. According to Tosfos, the Shammai is saying, sure, midaraisa, you could, but midrabbanan, you shouldn't. So let's go on, and it'll become clearer, I think, as we go along. So the Braisa continues, the halacha in this is like this hillel, that you could put kilayim tzitzis, you could put wool tzitzis on a linen garment. So the Braisa continues, Omer Abolazar ben Reb Tzadik, v'haloi kalamato tzelas v'yoshalayim eina ela minimak mihim. Don't we see, though, that anybody in Yerushalayim, when anybody put tzelas, and tzelas, of course, is wool, as we've been saying, on a linen garment in Yerushalayim, Eina Ela Mina Matmiyin, is just making people wonder about him. People are thinking that he's wearing Kilayim when he's not allowed to. So in other words, Rashi gives two explanations of what Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadik is saying. The first explanation Rashi says is that it means that Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadik is coming to argue on this hill. This hill, you're telling me that a linen garment can have woolen tzitzis? Don't we see in practice that anybody who does that, Eina Ela Mina Matmiyin, people wonder about him and people think, what are you doing? You're wearing kilayim and tzitzis. Showing, in other words, that in fact it's not allowed. So in that case, Omer Rebbe, so Rebbe answers back, Im Kein Loma Asura, well then, why do the people of Yerushalayim have a problem with it? Don't they realize that according to this hill, it's perfectly fine? The fact is, the halacha is like this hill. And the reason would be the fish ain't Bikian, because people are not so expert, people are not familiar with this topic, with this concept, that we do Daushin Smukim, that we do Daushin, the fact that the two Psukim are back-to-back, and therefore that we can have Kilayim and Tzitzis. People don't realize that, and therefore, so sort of Elizabeth Sadek, you're telling me, says Rebbe, that people wonder about it? The reason people wonder is because they don't know better. So fine, in that case then, fine, the Shammai is entitled. What?
Why did we ever say that the halacha goes the way people think? I mean, on the
contrary. Well, we have to figure out. When we talk about over here, Yerushalayim, we're not some talking about Amir Oretz. We're talking about Pashas in Yerushalayim, where there were many great Talmud Chachamim and all, and still they found it strange that people would wear Kilayim and Tzitzis. So in other words, Rebbe Elizabeth, so in other words, again, this is the point of Rashi's first explanation. Rebbe Elizabeth Rebbe Tzadik is saying, but the halacha can't possibly be like this Hillel, as we see that people are wondering at anybody who would do like that, showing that the mainstream understanding is like this Shammai. And Rebbe is saying, fine, no, the fact is the halacha is like this Hillel. You want to know why in Yerushalayim they're saying it's usher, and they're wondering about somebody who does it, because people are not so bucky, and because of that, therefore, so in other words, Rebbe would say, I agree that in Yerushalayim, in practice, people didn't wear wool tzitzis on a linen garment. But not because the halacha is like the Shammai, but rather because even according to this Hillel, the Chachamim made a gzera, d'rabbanan, not to do it, which the Chachamim have the ability to do such a thing. So in other words, it comes out. So in other words, we would say so far as follows, according to this explanation. This Shammai holds, according to Rashi, that it's outright also d'oraisa to put wool tzitzis on a linen garment. This Hillel holds it's perfectly mutter d'oraisa. However, in Yerushalayim, people would not do that. According to Beis Shammai, they wouldn't, because it's also Daraisa, so of course they're not going to do it. According to Beis Hillel, so given that the halacha is like Beis Hillel, says Rebbe, the Chachamim, even Beis Hillel would agree that the Chachamim made a gzera not to do it because people are not familiar with this. People are going to then think, if you're allowed to wear Kilayim and Tzitzis, then you're always allowed to wear Kilayim. They're going to think that you can always wear Shatnez. And given that, then the Chachamim made a gzera to not do it in the case of Tzitzis. That's all Rashi's first explanation. Second explanation, Rashi says, is that Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik is, on the contrary, is arguing on Beis Shammai. And saying like this, Beis Shammai, you're telling me that, according to Rashi's explanation again, that it's also daraisa to have wool tzitzis on a linen garment. So, but Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik is saying, you see that people wonder about it. People don't say it's osur. People in Yerushalayim, again, where there were great Talmud Chachamim and who can rely on what they were saying and doing, they're not saying, they don't see when somebody is putting wool tzitzis on a linen garment. They don't say, hey, you're being Ovan, is on Kilayim Daraisa, and rip it off him or whatever. They're just like me, and they wonder, why is this guy doing it? Doesn't that show, says Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, according to the second opinion, that it's only something strange, but not an issue? So Rebbe says, you know what, I'll explain to you. The reason Beis Shammai says that it's osur is because of gzeira. So in other words, according to Rashi's second explanation, we thought to begin with that Beis Shammai says it's osur daraisa. Now we're saying no, Beis Shammai agrees that it's mutter daraisa. But Beis Shammai is saying we need to make a gzeira because people are going to think that you're allowed to wear kilayim in other contexts, and therefore, because of that, now when someone goes out with tzitzis, with wool tzitzis on a linen garment in Yerushalayim, then people are matmihim, people wonder about what he's doing, namely because, according to Beis Shammai, he's being Ovan Xeda Dirabana. Meanwhile, according to Beis Hillel, he's not. So according to the second explanation, then, according to Beis Hillel, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it at all, and according to Beis Shammai, it's also Dirabana, not Daraisa. So that's the second explanation. Tosfos says, and this actually fits the second explanation of Rashi actually fits better with Tosfos' explanation, that to begin with, we were saying all along that the Shammai is asking and only Dirabanan. Tosfos explains that actually Rebbe can also be saying, I'm not trying to explain Beis Shammai so much, but why, given the halacha is like Beis Hillel, why are the people of Yerushalayim wondering? And because they thought that even if the halacha is like Beis Hillel, better there should be such a gzeira. So the Gemara continues. we'll talk about soon what the actual practical halacha is as far as this. But first, Amalei Rava Barav Chona L'Rava. So Rava Bar Rav Chana asks Rava, if you're telling me the whole problem is that people don't understand the difference, so why, and they're going to think that once you're allowed to wear kilayim and tzitzis, then you're allowed to wear kilayim in other contexts as well. Well then, the Lirmu Be'asara, why don't we have 10 people who are known to be Yireh Shemayim should go and put ruled tzitzis on their linen garments, the Niflul Shuka, and go out into the street wearing that, Umefaris and Mamilsa, and that way it'll become well known. That it's mutter in tzitzis, and that it's also in other contexts. Gemara says Toshkin, the Masmu Hilavon. Well, then all the more so people are going to wonder about it. They're going to think such erlicha Jews are wearing kilayim. They're not going to learn from that that's mutter in kilayim, and also everywhere else. They're going to think that all of a sudden we see such erlicha Jews seem to be doing something which is also. So therefore, it's not going to help. Okay, so the Gemara says religious shiva pirka. Okay, so why don't we give it as a public drasha? The Chachamim would give public drashas every so often to teach people practical halacha. So we'll do it in a public drasha. Inform them that you're allowed to have kilayim and tzitzis and not anywhere else. Okay, the Gemara says fine. You know what? You're right. We could do that. So that's not the reason then. The reason why we don't want to have wool tzitzis on linen garments. Gzeira mishum kola ilan. Rather, the gzeira is because instead of tchelas, a person might use kola ilan. Kola ilan is indigo. It resembles tchelas. We're going to have later on in a couple of datum, the Gemara is going to give us an interesting chemical method to be able to tell the difference whether swings are dyed with kola ilan or with the genuine stuff with tchelas. Anyway, what's going to happen is a person might mistake and might accidentally get some swings that are dyed with kola ilan and use them instead of tchelas. So we don't mean somebody is deliberately going to be doing, but he might accidentally, he gets a hold of some kola ilan threads, thinks that they're tchelas, puts them on. Now he's doing kilayim and not accomplishing the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is only, as the Gemara is going to go on to explain, when you don't have a choice, when the only way to fulfill the mitzvah saseh is by violating a mitzvah loy saseh, then you do that. So if the only way, when you have genuine tchelas, and given that tchelas is wool, the only way that you can be mekayim in the mitzvah of putting white and tchelas strings on a beged is going to be to have at least some of them be woolen strings, and it's a linen garment, that's fine, because then that's the only way to do the mitzvah. But if you're not doing tchelas anyway, then you don't have an excuse for that. Then you should have to use all linen threads and not wool at all. And now if you're using kola ilan, you're using wool, and you're not being mekayim the mitzvah, and you're doing kilayim. So therefore, that would be a reason to say not to put tchelas in there in the first place, not to put woolen strings there in the first place, because a person might instead have kola ilan in there. So in other words, when we say, so before Rebbe had used the expression, Lafisha Ein Bekiyin, before we said that, before Rashi had explained that Ein Bekiyin means people are not familiar with the distinction between tzitzis and anything else. As far as Kalayin, now, Chidushim HaMilchasim LaRashba explains, we're going to have to say Ein Bekiyin means people are not always so expert to be able to tell the difference between Tcheles and Kalayilan. So the Gemara says, so what? V'lo yehel alavan. So what's the problem? Even if it's not tchelas, there's still no worse than white strings. So then in that case, and again, the Gemara doesn't realize at this point that we just said, that if you can be mekayim the esse another way, then you're obligated to do that. The Gemara thinks, as long as you're mekayim the esse, then fine, we can override the lois esse. Well then, the fact is, if you have woolen strings on a linen garment, you are fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis, so why shouldn't that override kilayim? Who cares whether two of them are dyed with the wrong dye? And the answer is no. And by the way, Tosfos points out at the beginning of the Perek, we had Rebbe saying that you must have Tchelas as well. If not, you're not Yotz of the Mitzvah at all, but fine. Rebbe is coming to explain over here, the whole sugya over here is to explain why the people of Yerushalayim, Ein an Ela Min HaMachmiyin, why would they wonder at somebody who wears woolen tzitzis on a linen garment? And we don't have to say that Rebbe himself agrees with this whole point. Anyway. So the Gemara answers, no, given the Efshar Lahato B'minon, since, as a matter of fact, since after all, you could use the same min, you could use linen strings instead of woolen ones, then we do not say that putting woolen strings is the right way to do it. In other words, if you have to do tchelas, and tchelas by definition is wool, then yes, you have no choice but to do the mitzvah in a way by doing kilayim and overriding the lois esse. But if you're not going to be doing tchelas, and if, as we just said, you're going to be doing kola ilan, then no, you don't have an excuse to use woolen threads, then you must use linen threads. Because then you can be Mekayim the mitzvah without being over on Esav. Kidur Rish Lakish, as Rish Lakish explains it. The Omer Rish Lakish, because Rish Lakish explains a general rule. Kol Mokam Shatam Motza Esav Aloy Seser. Any time when you have an Esav and a Loy Seser that bump up against one against the other, as in this case, for example, where you have on the one hand the mitzvah of Tzitzis and on the other hand the Isser of Kilayim. If you're able to fulfill both of them, if you're able to do the Esser without violating the Lois Esser, Mutav, then good, that's how you have to do it. And if not, then the Esser will come and override the Lois Esser. So in other words, for example, I mean, some other examples of Esser Gotcha Lois Esser are, for example, you have a, we know your person's not allowed to cut off simonim of Saras from their skin, but if a person happens to have Saras on their Orla, then you do the Bris Mila, even though that means cutting off the Saras. So that's an example where there's no way to accomplish the Esser without violating the Lois Esser. Well, in our example over here, when it comes, you have a Lois Esser Tilai. There's two ways you can be Mekayim the mitzvah of Tzitzis. You can use linen threads, or you can use woolen threads. If you use linen threads, you're not being over on Kilayim, and you're being Mekayim the mitzvah of Tzitzis. If you use woolen threads, you're also Mekayim the mitzvah of Tzitzis, but you're violating Kilayim. Says Rish Lakish, then you're not supposed to do that. Then you have to use the alternative that does not require overriding the Lois Esser. So when you have Tcheles, then since Tcheles by definition is wool and there's no other alternative, then that's an example of that you can't do Shnehem. That would be an example of Rish Lakish's Imlab. They are necessarily, you're either being Mekayim Tzitzis with Tcheles, or you're not being Mekayim it at all because of Shatnez. Fine, go ahead and do the mitzvah and don't worry about Shatnez. But when the strings instead are dyed with kol ilan, then you're not being mekayim the mitzvah of tchelas, and then you could have just as easily used linen strings instead, then you're obligated to do that. Well, therefore, so that's the Gemara saying, that now the problem is that people might have strings dyed with kol ilan, mistakenly think that it's tchelas, put it on their linen garments. Then it turns out that they're not being Mekayim the mitzvah in the first place, that they're not being Mekayim, that it turns out that even though they are being Mekayim the mitzvah of Tzitzis, they could equally well have been Mekayim it with linen threads, given that they don't have Tcheles anyway, and therefore they're violating the Lois Esser in a way that they didn't have to in order to be Mekayim the Esser, and you can't do that. Therefore, the Chachamim said in the first place, don't put wool Tzitzis on a linen garment at all, even if you do happen to have Tcheles.
Who says that Alexander?
Yeah, go ahead.
Who says that tzitzis is a garment? The garment is not the tzitzis. The garment is the piece of wool.
No, but we talked about yesterday Kesher Elyon D'Oraisa. We talked about that the upper knot, and we had different definitions of what the upper knot meant, the one closer to the Beged or the one further away from it. We said that that's D'Oraisa. Meaning, in other words, we said that given that D'Oraisa, you have to tie the strings to the Beged, then therefore that constitutes Kilayim on a D'Oraisa level. So therefore, so...
Why? If it has to be tied, then it doesn't mean that it's part of the beged.
But once it's tied to it, then it's considered part of it. The same way, for example, let's say, are you allowed to take a woolen garment and start stitching linen threads into it? No. Once the threads are stitched in, then they become part of the beged, and now you have a problem of shatnez. So here, in the same vein. If you're tying wool strings to a linen garment or vice versa, then you have Kilayim here.
Where did you get that from?
That's how it is. That's the definition of it. So that if you have them tied together in a way that's going to remain that way indefinitely, then that's already considered a connection as far as Kilayim. We quoted in the Gemara yesterday an expression. A tokef tkifa achas. If a person, for example, were to put a, were, if a person were to put one, one, if a person were to put a thread of wool into a linen garment only one time through, let's say, and not tie it, then it's not considered connected. But once you put it in, once you have, for example, a stitch that goes in and out, or also what the Gemara was saying over there, if you have it tied, then already it's considered a permanent connection, and therefore, if they're the two different species, then it would be Kilayim.
What do you define a beged exactly, other than the
beged is a garment. A beged is a garment, but anything that's attached permanently to the garment becomes part of the garment, and that includes the tzitzis.
Not necessarily.
But that's how it is. I don't know what you're saying. You may say not necessarily, but that's obviously not the svara of the Gemara. Once the tittis are tied to the beged, then as far as we're concerned, they become part of the beged, and therefore shatnez applies. That's the whole sugya over here is dependent on that concept.
Tittis is never worn on the skin. It's separate from the beged.
Has nothing to do with worn on the skin or not. Once it's attached, then it becomes kalayim. That's just how it is. Yeah.
Who says that?
But that's how it is. It's a given. That's the Gemara is taking that as a given over here, that anything that's attached to a beged becomes part of the beged. It doesn't matter whether it's actually being used to warm yourself or whatever. As long as it's attached permanently to the beged, then it's part of it. Anyway, let's go on. So again, now we're saying, in other words, the vote is that yes, in principle, if a person has tchelas, then by all means, they should put it on a linen garment. But we're going to make a gzeira not to, because instead of tchelas, he might be using kol ilam, and then he's not a and then he could have equally well fulfilled the mitzvah with linen strings, and then he can't be using wool, So the Gemara asked, but why don't we examine them? If you're concerned about that, then we should examine. So Rashi gives two explanations. The first explanation is, you have the various vendors who are selling tchelas, Beis Din should send around people to check all the people, or to check all the vendors, and make sure that they're selling tchelas and not kol ilan. So why don't we do that? Let the chachamim, you're worried about that people might be selling kol ilan as tchelas. Well, then it should be based in his responsibility to go around and make sure among all the vats, all the people who have dye vats, and make sure that they're selling tchelas and not kol ilan. That's Rashi's first explanation. Rashi's second explanation is the Chachamim should make a rule that you shouldn't buy tchelas unless you do a chemical test on it first. Further on Daf Mem Beis, the Gemara is going to explain a chemical test that you can do in order to tell whether it's kol ilan or tchelas. So Rashi's second explanation is that the Chachamim should make a rule, and Shitim Kubetzis adds a word in Rashi that Rashi says, I prefer this explanation, that it means that we should, if you're worried about that a person might have kol ilan and think that it's tchelas, we should make a takana. Anytime a person buys tchelas, the first thing he should do is do this chemical test on it to make sure that it's a genuine item. So why don't we do that? And then that way we'll make sure that what everybody has is tchelas, and then there's no need to make a gzeira. Because then, given that rule with tchelas is the only way to fulfill that part of the mitzvah of tchelas, then that's fine with kilayim, and then we don't have to worry about this whole business of that they might be using kol ilan instead. Okay. So the Gemara says, fine, you're right. El gzeira mishum te'ima. Rather, the reason why we're not going to allow it is because what if a person buys tchelas strings that were tested? A person is boiling up a vat of dye to dye tzitzis strings or to dye anything else. He has to test the dye to make sure that he processed it properly. So therefore, what you would do is you would take a little piece of wool and dye it and make sure and see whether it absorbs the color well. So now, conceivably, a person might take that wool that was used for that purpose and use it for tchelas for tzitzis. And that doesn't work because the tzitzis has to be dyed lishma. And here it's not lishma because you're doing it just for a test. So now the problem is, in other words, so now a person might have such strings, he's not going to realize that they were dyed for a test. He's going to buy them and put them on his talus. And again, you're going to have the same problem that he's wearing a linen garment with woolen tzitzis, which are not being mekayim the mitzvah of tchelas. And therefore now he's being over on the issur of shatnez without being mekayim the mitzvah of tchelas. So the Gemara says, v'lichtevei adiski. Okay, so then we should send out letters to all the vendors of, to send out all the vendors of tchelas and inform them of this point, that anything that you tested, anything that you used as a test is possible to sell, is possible to sell for tzitzis. And then at that point, then we should be able to rely on the vendors that they won't sell them for tzitzis. So the Gemara says, how can we rely on that? Adiski leikum v'lismach. Can we rely on letters like that? The vendors are not necessarily going to consider that so significant. Okay, so we got a letter. Very nice. I'll file it in my files. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to change their practices because of that. Or you might even have, Rabbeinu Gershom points out another point as well. Not all the letters may even reach their destinations. You may have a vendor out there who doesn't receive the letters and continues to sell his test samples as genuine trelas. So therefore, that's not going to work to do this kind of thing. That was according to, again, Rashi prefers the second explanation, and it fits better with the wording of the Gemara, and therefore so that's how he explains it. Rashi, going back to Rashi's first explanation, he says that to begin with, the Gemara had asked that we should send around people to check all the vendors to make sure that they're using trelas and not kol ilan. And the answer is, but how are they going to check that? Precisely by doing a test. And the problem with that is, as we're going to learn later on in the Gemara, if you have a whole vat full of dye and you put in one little piece to test, all of the dye in the vat becomes posel as a result of it, because all of it is considered to have been used for the test. We're going to learn later on. On Daf Mem Beis, Beis Hashem, we'll talk about how we avoid that problem, how we do a test and not posel the rest of the dye in the vat. But now, what's going to happen is, if you're going to have, we're going to go check all the vendors and make sure that they're selling tchelas and not kol ilan, then the shluchim who go and do that may do that by trying to test it like that and pass all the dye anyway. So then the Gemara says, so then let's send letters and tell the testers how they should do the test. And the answer is that we can't necessarily rely on letters. So in short, it comes out that we've gone through so far several possibilities why indeed we should not be putting wool tzitzis on a linen garment. So now the last thing we're saying is the problem is because the wool may not have been dyed in the proper way, whether we're still concerned about kol ilan according to Rashi's first explanation, or whether at this point we're saying the problem is it may have been dyed shelo lishma according to the second one, and letters and things like that are not going to help, and therefore back to the point that people may end up doing kilayim and tzitzis where there would have been an equally good alternative, namely to do just linen strings and not, because as it is, you don't have proper trellis anyway, and then it comes out that people are wearing kilayim in tzitzis and they're not being mekayim the mitzvah of trellis. Okay. So the Gemara goes, and Rashi points out, in other words, where do they dye trellis? A lot of them are done you have cities and villages. If we darshan it to them, if we send them letters or whatever, it's not always, they're not always going to read, they're not always going to hear it, they're not always going to pay attention to it. So therefore, so no good. However, the Gemara says, what do you mean? You can't rely on letters. Amar Rava. Rava says, what's the problem with sending letters? Hashta chometz or Pesach v'yemek kippurim dekoris. Consider, when it comes to chometz on Pesach, and when it comes to Yom Kippur, both of which are an Isur Kores, Samchin and Adiski, and we rely on letters, because when Rosh Chodesh is, what do they do afterwards? They send out letters, it actually says particularly, not when they declare Rosh Chodesh, but rather as far as when they declare a leap year. Basin would send out letters to all places where Jews live, informing them that this year has two Adars. And we rely on those letters, and that's how Basin publicizes it. And they're not concerned that there might be places that don't receive the letters or whatever. So we see that it works even by that. Here you're talking about just a mitzvah saseh, like Koshkin, how much more so that yes, if Basin sends out letters, then that should be good enough. Okay, I mean there is a lois essay involved over here as well, because there is kalayim, so fine, it's not purely an essay, but in fact, fine, the Chazon Ish talks about that maybe the wording in the Gemara should be hocha lois essay ba'alma, that it's just a lois essay without kores, because after all, shatnez doesn't involve kores. And then the Sfasemes talks about it, that look, you know, if the whole point is you want to tell the vendors don't sell your samples as real tailors, listen, it's not very common they're gonna do that, so it's almost like Xeda. So Rava is saying therefore there really shouldn't be a need to worry about that kind of thing. So we still don't have a good explanation of why indeed we should not allow people to put tchelis on a linen garment. We still don't have a good explanation yet, because so far we've shot down all the possible explanations, and it doesn't seem that there's a reason to make such a gzeira. Ela Omar Rava, so rather, Rava says, Hom Milsa Amri, I myself said a certain point in this connection, the Itma Bama Rava Meshum de Rabzeira Kavasi, and then in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, it was said the same way as me in the name of Rabzeira, so in other words, Rabzeira and I both independently hit on the same idea. The reason why we're going to make Rabzeira, because this linen garment might have previously been ripped within three etzbois of the corner, which is, as we're going to learn later on in the sugya, the proper place to put the tzitzis is within three etzbois of the, you're supposed to put the tzitzis within three etzbois of the corner. So now it might get ripped over there, the yitberenu, and you're going to sew it up. You're going to use linen thread to sew it up. So far, of course, you have to use linen thread because necessarily this is a linen garment. Now, what you're going to do is of the actual threads that you use for sewing, then you're going to go and try to make those do double duty and do fatitis threads as well, as fatitis strings as well. I mean, we would think that sounds very odd. We're used to that the strings are something separate that you put into a hole in the garment and then you have it hang down from there. But here, Robert is saying it wasn't always necessarily that way. People sometimes would do that. They would take whatever strings are hanging from the end of the garment, and they would repurpose them as tzitzis, kind of. So now he's going to add to it tchelis, and that's a problem. So that you can't do that. It's not allowed to do that because the Torah says tassav lemina also. You have to make tzitzis. You do them tassavacha, and that means it can't already be made. So when you have threads over here that were not put there to begin with l'shem tzitzis, then you can't repurpose them afterwards as tzitzis. Meanwhile, a person is not going to realize that. So he's going to have, together with those linen threads, he's going to have woolen threads of tchelis, and he's going to think he's being mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis. And he's not. And he's not because the first threads, the linen threads that were hanging off over there, are not in fact kosher for tzitzis because they weren't put there to begin with l'shem mitzvah. So that's how Rashi explains what Rava is saying. Now Tosfos has some problems with Rashi's explanation, and Tosfos says that no, what it means is rather like this. So here, according to Rashi, in other words, the flow of what might happen is at one point the garment got ripped close to the edge. Then you sewed it up. Now you have extra strings hanging over there, and you decide, you know what, these strings are hanging there anyway. Let me apply them towards the tzitzis. Tosfos rather explains what we mean is that the corner itself that has the tzitzis on it might get ripped off the garment, and now at that point you have, and now at that point, and now at that point the beged has only has, and you don't have, it's torn so close to the edge that you don't have three etzbois of it left attached to the garment. So in other words, Tosfos points out, we don't think it's going to be completely attached. People are not going to make a mistake on that, but it's going to be detached enough that there's not three etzbois of intact cloth left. Then you're going to sew it up and think that it's good, and it's not, because now the din would be actually, you'd have to take out the tzitzis from that corner and put them back on because tassav lemin asi. Meanwhile, the person is not going to realize that, and then he's going to go and he's going to go and think that he still has valid tzitzis over there. After all, this piece would never completely detach from the main garment, and therefore it should be fine. But meanwhile he's not doing that. You still have tasks of Leiman Osri. On the other hand, even though Tosfos is saying it can't be that it was completely detached, Rav Amram Goyen, that we were just talking about before, Nimuka Yosef brings us from Rav Amram Goyen, we are in fact talking about that it may have gotten completely ripped off. And again, now the person is going to sew it back onto the garment and thinking, So now what happens is Rav Amram going learns that if the piece that ripped off is more than 3 by 3 etzbois, then actually you would be allowed to sew it back on. But if it's less than 3 by 3 etzbois, then tass the blame in osri. He would actually have to take out the tzitzis and put him back. So a person is not going to realize that point, and then again he's going to end up being over on kilayim when he's going to be over on kilayim without fulfilling the mitzvah. So therefore, so Rava says that would be a reason. It may sound a little far-fetched, but the fact is we have to make sure that people are not going to wear kilayim, people are not going to be ovan and isur daraisa of shatnez when there's no mitzvah of tzitzis involved, and this would be a reason for that.
Yes.
So the Gemara says, Shorer Reb Zera L'Sedine. So after this whole discussion, Reb Zera took the tzitzis off of his linen garment. So in other words, when we say that, when Rava had said it was said in Eretz Yisrael, in the name Reb Zera like me, that's what it means. In other words, Reb Zera actually did that. Halacha L'maisa. He had a linen garment. He because of this consideration, took the woolen tzitzis off it, and so Rava is saying, so he and I independently hit on the same idea of the reason for that, because of this concern that it might get ripped and re-sewn, etc.
Yeah.
The Gemara continues, Rav Zera Omar, Rav Zera gives a different reason. The Tosfos points out, Rav Zera and Reb Zera are two different people. Rebbe Zera with the Yud is he got smicha, and therefore he has the title Rebbe. Rav Zera would be someone who did not, who lived in Bavel and didn't get smicha. So he says another reason, Zera Nami, Bishum Ksus Laila. There's another reason for the Gzera, because this garment might be used at night. A person might wear this, might wear this sudden at night specifically, and then at night there's no chiyuv of tzitzis. By day, tzitzis applies only by day, or isim oisir is chartem. So now it comes out, he's wearing kilayim and not accomplishing the mitzvah at all. There is considerable discussion about whether we mean over here a beged that is specifically meant for night, whether it's specifically meant for nightwear, and therefore that would be potter from tzitzis, as opposed to if you have something which is mainly meant for daywear, and you happen to wear it at night, then according to that opinion, it still would be chayev in tzitzis. So Rabbi Natan learns that way in Tosfos over here. On the other hand, the Rambam holds that no, the key thing is not when it's meant to be worn, but when you're actually wearing it. If you actually wear it by night, even though it's day wear, then nevertheless you're not being a kind of mitzvah of tzitzis at this point. And now again, if it has kalayim in it, then you have a problem because you're wearing kalayim and not accomplishing the mitzvah. So that ends this discussion about the linen garment. Now we have the issue. What is the actual bottom line halacha on this? So first we had the opinions of Ishama and Basilo. We had the various possibilities the Gemara had gone through. So what? And we had again Tosfos had pointed out that Rab Amram going and passing in this case like Beis Shammai unusually. So the Rif basically agrees with again, and we started in Sugya by saying that according to Rashi, Bes Shammai is saying that's also Daraisa, and according to Bes Hillel, we have Xera Dirabanan. Now it comes out, Tosfos points out on Amud Aleph, it comes out the whole question that we're discussing over here is as far as woolen tzitzis on a linen garment. We're ultimately saying because of one or another, whether it's Zeta Sterabanan, then therefore we don't do that. What about linen tzitzis on a linen garment? Shouldn't be a problem. And in fact, Tosfos brings on Amud Aleph that Rashi himself wrote in a tshuva exactly that a linen garment should have linen tzitzis. On the other hand, Tosfos is explaining over there that no, the Gzera is actually that you shouldn't have tzitzis on a linen garment at all, neither wool tzitzis nor linen tzitzis, because if you do linen, then you might come to put wool. So you have the Baal HaMor says flatly you should know that all the Ga'onim, the who ever lived, said you're not allowed to put even linen tzitzis on a linen garment, and only the Rif was the first one to be matter it, and he brings up one of the Rif's contemporaries, Rabbi Yitzchak, Baruch Al-Baliya, already slugged up the Rif on that, and Rabbi Amram Goin says the halacha is like the Shammai, and that means you shouldn't have linen tzitzis on a linen garment at all, and there's a lot of discussion about it back and forth among the Rishonim, the Ramban goes against the Baal HaMor and then defends the Rif, and so on and so forth. So, the final halacha is like this. So the Mechaber says in Shulchan Aruch that the halacha is not like the opinions that you shouldn't have tzitzis on a linen garment. The halacha would be like the Rif and Rashi that you should. However, a Yoreh Shemayim should not make a tzitzis out of linen in the first place. Nowadays that we wear a four-cornered garment specifically to be mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis. It's not like in the olden days where their normal dress involved four-cornered garments. And then you can talk about what if you happen to have one made out of linen. Here we're talking about nowadays you wear a beged specifically for the mitzvah, talis cotton, a talis gadol. Then the Mechaber says a Yoreh Shemayim should not make it out of linen in the first place.
So the Rama adds, if you only have linen and there's no other way you could do it, then fine, put linen tzitzis on the linen garment. That would be better than not doing the mitzvah at all. You can rely on the Rif on that. You can rely on the Rif and then the other poskim that follow him and the Ramban and others in that and not the Baal Amara. But the ideal, we're saying, is not to use linen. And in fact, that is why. So you find nowadays, you have wool tzitzis, which as we learned yesterday, you definitely mekayim the mitzvah daraisa according to everybody with wool tzitzis. We talked about yesterday, they have cotton, and you have machlokes rishonim, whether you're mekayim the mitzvah daraisa or only dirabanan, with a cotton garment. Nobody makes tzitzis, and nobody makes a beged for tzitzis out of linen, even though hypothetically you can put linen tzitzis on it because of this machlokas rishonim, whether you're allowed to do that or whether there's a zeder that I bought on against it. Okay. New topic about another material that clothing might be made out of. The Gemara says, "V'omar Rava, hom milsa amri." Here's another statement that I said, says Rava, as far as tzitzis, that I said something. V'ifma ma Rava mishmeder abzera kavasi. And again, it was said in the West in Eretz Yisrael in the name of Reb Zera in the same exact thing. As follows, he shall beged. Suppose you have a piece of clothing which itself, with most of the beged, is made out of cloth. Or knefeha shall ur, but the corners of it are made out of leather. So in other words, you took the corners of it and cut them out, and instead you put leather patches over there. So Rava and Reb Zera say, chayeves, such a beged would still be chayev in tzitzis. He shall err, but if the main part of the beged is made of leather, or knafeha shall beged, and the corners are made out of cloth, ptura, then it would be potter. My timer, why? Says Rabba, ikur beged be'inan. Because you have to go according to the main thing of the beged. The beged as a whole is cloth, and therefore we ignore the leather corners, or vice versa. But Rabba Choy also basa kana. But Rabba Choy held that no, you go according to the corners. So in other words, if the thing itself is made out of cloth and has leather corners, according to Rabba, it would be chayiv and tzitzis, and according to Rabba Choy, it would be potter. So the halacha is like Rabba in that. So leather garments are potter from tzitzis. The Rif, the Rambam, the Rosh all paskin like Rava. The Mordechai actually brings that we do have to take into consideration Rabbi Choy's opinion as well. And therefore that would mean that in either case you would have to put tzitzis on it. So the Beis Yosef summarizes that, look, you know, because the fact is, we have the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rosh all say that when it's wool and has leather corners, they learn that it's potter. So therefore, they learn that it's chayev rather. So you don't have to worry about whether there's leather on the corners of the talus. Poskim also talk nowadays about, for example, you have other fabrics that may be considered like leather in that regard. For example, first of all, other things like plastic, let's say, for example, would definitely be considered like leather in that regard because they're not woven. There's an interesting question. What about, for example, polyester? It's made from it's an artificial fabric, but it is spun and woven like cloth. Would it be chayiv? I mean, before anyway, we talked about whether you chayiv and tzitzis daraisa or dirabanan on non-wool and non-linen. But would polyester garments even be chayiv and tzitzis in the first place? There's discussion about that and other similar fabrics like that. There's discussion among achronim on that point. Okay. The Gemara continues, Omar Rava, Omar Abskoida, Omar Apuna, Hitzil Abalas Shalashri Shlimal Arba. What happens if a person took a garment that so far had only three corners and he put tzitzis on it, and then afterwards he added a fourth corner to the garment? So then those first three tzitzis he put on a posel, Mishum Tassav Lemon Osri, because as we just said before, Tassav Lemon Osri, tzitzis have to be made in a way of that you're chayav now, not that you do something that was already made. Here you have, at the point when you put on the first three tzitzis, they were done wrongly because a three-cornered beged is potter from tzitzis. Therefore those three are already Mina Osri, they're already what's made, and therefore we would have to untie them and retie them. So the Gemara says, Mesi, I have a contradiction to that, though. A Braisa says, Chassidim or Rishonim, the early Chassidim, when they would weave themselves Talesim, Kivin Sha'ogub or Sholosh, as soon as they got to a point in the weaving where they had woven an area that's 3 etzbois wide, which is the minimum for it to be called a beggar, Hoyimatilim or Tchelas. They would immediately put Tchelas on it, so less than 3 etzbois is not considered a beggar. And therefore they couldn't yet put tzitzis, but as soon as it was 3 etzbois wide, then they would put tzitzis on it. Now, the fact is, it's far too small, as we're going to learn further on, that there's a minimum size that that clothing has to be in order to be chayav in tzitzis in the first place. And 3 etzbois is far smaller than that. So we see they're not putting on, and we see they're already putting tzitzis on it. So you see that it's not a problem. So it's the same thing. Why should it be a problem if you put on tzitzis when the beged has only 3 corners? So the Gemara says, Ema, no. You have to rather correct the braisa and say, Kivin shepotsu ba sholosh. It means that once they finish the weaving, and they're cutting it all, and they're cutting it off the loom. So in other words, there's different explanations what it means is. So not when they're cutting it off the loom. So one explanation, it means that there's still 3 etzbois left to weave. So they've almost finished it, and they have less than 3 etzbois left to do. That would be called chapotsuba. This is how Rashi explains it. And if they're at the last three etzbois. Now it's not tasa v'lemin also, because now already the beggar is big enough to wear, and it's just missing the last few etzbois. So then they would hurry up and put tzitzis on it even before the beggar is finished. But not another explanation is the itur brings an explanation that it means. Instead of potsu, botsu, basically it means the same thing, that when there's 3 etzbois left to go of the weave. So then at that point they would put on tchelas, but not that they would do it when they had only woven 3 etzbois, because that would be a problem of tasa v'lemin asu. Well, the question is, do we even say that by tzitzis tasa v'lemin asu is an issue? Any? Well, Amar Reb Zera, hitzol lamutelas. Reb Zera says that if you took a beged that already had that already had tzitzis on it, and you put more tzitzis on it, so then ksheira, so it would be, and then you cut off the original ones, ksheira, then it would be kosher. Further on, Rashi says if you left the original ones, would sure be good, but even you put on new ones on the corners, so you had 4 on the 4 corners already, then you put 4 more, then the new ones will be kosher. Now, you didn't need them at the time, because each corner already had a tzitza, and nevertheless, we're still saying that you could. So you see that tasa v'lemin asu is not a problem. Tosfos points out, in other words, there is a difference between before, for example, Reb Zera was talking about when, let's say, you have threads, according to Rashi's explanation, that you had threads hanging from the corner, and you decided to repurpose them as tzitzis. Well, as Tosfos had said, part of the corner was partially ripped off, but not completely, and now you're going to re-sew it on. So Reb Zera himself, of course, holds a tasa v'lemin asu. But here, when you're putting it on, Tosfos makes the distinction that here, when you're doing it, having in mind that you're doing it in order to accomplish the mitzvah, because you're tying them on as l'shem mitzvah tzitzis, so therefore Reb Zera says that. So Reb Zera is saying that that's not considered a problem. So we see that at least some kinds of tasa v'lemin asu don't apply to tzitzis. Well, then the same thing if you put it on 3 corners and you intended it for the mitzvah of tzitzis, and later on you add it to the corner, what's the problem? So the answer is Amar Rava. So Rava answers, what do you mean? Why shouldn't he be over? Hashkab Bal Tosif Kari. Consider the person at this point is being over on Bal Tosif because he's putting on extra tzitzis that don't belong there yet. Fine. Before we should talk about that, he's not yet over on Bal Tosif because he's not actually wearing the tzitzis yet, but at least the next time a person puts on this beged, he's going to be over on Bal Tosif because he has extra tzitzis on the corners. So if he's even being over on that, vice or like Avi. No, on the contrary, Maisa Lehabi, therefore it cannot be considered a valid Maisa. Well, when you're doing something against what the Torah says, then it's not considered a Maisa. Tosfos says on it sort of here, and it's a little hard to understand why it shouldn't be considered a maisa. But anyway, that's what Rava is saying. So therefore, it means in other words, you never made that last tzitzis because the way you made them is an iser because of Bal Tosif, and therefore you can't call it that you made them. Well, therefore, in fact, when Reb Zera is saying is that when you put on the new ones, and no, you didn't put them on in a way that's possible, so fine. When you cut off the original ones, that's when you're putting on the new ones, and at that point, the beggar is chayiv in tzitzis. But maski for Rapapa, but Rapapa questions that. How do you know the person is intending to add more tzitzis, and therefore you can talk about whether it's about tzitzis or not? Maybe he has in mind to be mevatol the original tzitzis. He's saying, I'm going to put on new tzitzis, then I'm having in mind with that I'm being mevatol the old ones, and I'm going to cut them off afterwards. So now there's no issue of Baal Tosif, because he's specifically, the Tosif discusses, there are different opinions whether a person needs to have in mind to be adding in order to be over on Baal Tosif, but listen, everybody agrees that if he specifically has in mind not to, then he's not. So therefore, now there's no Baal Tosif, now though there is a Maisa, and therefore it should be considered, Tas of Loimin also. But Rav Zeira is saying it's not a problem, so you see that this kind of thing is not a problem, and it shouldn't be a problem, even if you have the same thing. It shouldn't be a problem with Rav Huna's din before about a three-cornered garment that you added a fourth, that you put citrus on, and then added a fourth corner. The Gemara goes on to discuss this point a little more. Amar of Zera, Amar of Maska, Amar Shmuel, Tchelas, Enba Mishum Kilayim. That when you put Tchelas, as we were learning before, about on a linen garment, and there's no issue of Kilayim, and as we learned before, that Daraisa would be allowed. Vafilu, the talus Ptura, even if the talus itself is Ptur. So in other words, Tosfos points out the Afsilu is even when the talus is potter, then there's no issue of Kilayim, and then there's a Chiddush in the whole point that there's no Kilayim in Tzitzis, that it goes with everything that we discussed before. So what do you mean, my talus potter? What do you mean, a talus that's potter? Ilema de less vashiyura, even the talus is not big enough to be chayiv in Tzitzis? No. Well, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, talus shakot miskasa b'roshe v'ruvoy, a talus which with a child is able to cover his head and most of his body. What age child? So there's different opinions among the Poskim. The Rambam says that if a child is old enough to go in the street by himself, so that means that Advaz defines that as a 5-year-old. The Chinuch says 6 or 7. The tour was 9 years old. So there's different opinions of how the Lemaisa there, everybody from Shulchan Aruch and so forth, that you go according to a 9-year-old. If it's big enough for a 9-year-old to wear, and an older child or an adult might occasionally wear it. It's too small on him, but he might wear it as a one-off thing. So then chayev spetzitzis, such a garment is chayev in tzitzis. If it's not large enough for a child to cover his head and most of his body with it, even if an adult would occasionally wear it, then it's potter from tzitzis. The size of that, the post can talk about, the Alter Rebbe explains, is a minimum of 1 amma by 1 amma. And since when it comes to our talus cotton that have a hole in the middle, the Alter Rebbe points out the hole doesn't count towards the shear, so it means the front of the talus cotton has to be 1 by 1 amma. That's considered to be the minimum that would cover the head and most of the body of a 9-year-old child. And the Braisa says, v'chein le'inin kilayim. And the same thing applies as far as kilayim. Now we have to ask about that Braisa. My v'chein le'inin kilayim. What do we mean with that phrase? Ilem v'chein le'inin isur of the kilayim. Do we mean a garment smaller than that is not subject to the issue of kilayim? That's not so. We learn in Masechta Kilayim, when we talk about Shatnez, that there's no din of Arai, that even if you have something that you wear only as a one-time thing, it's still also to have Kilayim. The same thing applies. So in other words, what does it mean? It can't mean, in other words, that a beggar smaller than that is not subject to Kilayim, it is. So the Omer of Nachman Yitzchok, said Nachman Yitzchok explains, when the Braisa says, V'chein le'inin Kilayim, when it says also as far as kilayim is became in sudden tzitzis, the same thing as far as a linen garment with woolen tzitzis, that when the beged is big enough that it will cover most of the head and most of the body of a 9-year-old, then you're allowed to put tchelas on it and you're not over on kilayim, as we learned before. There's a zeda d'rabbanan about it, but majorit icy you would be allowed to. So then, in that case, going back to the bottom of the Amud, when Reb Zeira recorded in the name of Shmuel that There's no issue of kelayim. After the talis ketura, what do you mean? If talis ketura means a talis that's too small, then kelayim would apply to it. Elamai ketura. So presumably ketura means vahatala motel, means itala motelas, means what we were just talking about before, where you have a beggar that already has tzitzis on it, and then you put new tzitzis on it, and so it's already potter because it already had a proper number of tzitzis, and nevertheless we're still saying that, and we're still saying that there's no issue of kelayim because the kelayim is mutter and tzitzis across the board. So therefore, so when we said before, so talking about this hitzol motelus, it would mean that yes, you would be allowed to put new tzitzis on it, and it's not an, even though the new tzitzis are also wool and the old ones were wool, and it's not a, or the old ones were whatever, they could have been linen as well, and nevertheless it's still mutter because it's not considered that you're over on the issur of kelayim. So the Gemara says, "Well, Amr Reb Zera Chodazimna." Well, in that case, Reb Zera already said that din about Hitzel and Mutalas. And the answer is Chodim Mitzchal Zechaver to Itma. You're right. Reb Zera did not say both statements. He said one, and we infer the other one from it. Rashi says he said that Hitzel and Mutalas. That if you put new tzitzis on a garment that already had tzitzis, then it's kosher. And from that we derive this point of kelayim and tzitzis. Tosfos says the other way around. He said the one in the name of Shmuel that kelayim and tzitzis is not an issue in this case. And from that we derive the point. From that we derive the point about hitzel lamotelas. That's if you put tzitzis on one that already has tzitzis. So in the end, it kind of sounds as though the Gemara has concluded that it's fine to put that tas of alaymin also doesn't apply to such things, that you would be allowed to put new tzitzis on a beged, even though it already has existing tzitzis. And it wouldn't be considered a problem, and it would come out then from that also that if you had a garment with three corners and you put tzitzis on it, then it sounds like after all it would be fine. However, the poskim end up saying that it's not so. The fact is, it is going to be possible on the grounds of tas of alaymin osri. In other words, we're not going to distinguish, as Tosfos said before, between different kinds of alaymin osri. Across the board, it's going to be no good. It was three corners and you added a fourth, then you are in fact going to have to take off those three and put them back on after the fourth corner was added. And then also, as far as this matter about Tosif, we are going to say, in fact, that if you put on new tzitzis, so now if you cut off one of them, then fine, it'll be kosher. Then we're not going to worry about Tosif, as the Gemara has said over here, because then as the Gemara had said, it's not considered doing it. So therefore, you're making it kosher, and that's considered an asiya, and therefore it's considered fine. But if you you could do that. You could put on a second tzitzis on the corner, and then cut off the first one, and the tzitzis will be fine. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem. We'll continue talking about various other dinim and details in the mitzvah of tzitzis, including we're going to talk about the point that bechlal, as we've learned before, it's possible conceivably for a person to go his whole life without ever being mekayim in the mitzvah of tzitzis, simply because nowadays we don't normally wear four corner garments, but precisely for that reason we do specifically wear a talis cotton, and we specifically wear a talis gadol in order to be mekayim in the mitzvah.